Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Lord, the Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and someone will chat with you.
It's Scott.
Welcome, brother.
At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA Simple Actions. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a result, as a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we are discussing step two. Please welcome our panel this evening, our own Travis and Grant. I will read the first paragraph that's from page 45 in the big book, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Step two, page 45. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. To one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible, but to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face, but it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics, but after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. Perhaps it is going to be that way with you. But cheer up, something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral, we could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main objective is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. And whichever one of you would like to go first.
Hi, everybody. My name is Travis. I'm an alcoholic.
Travis.
This is probably my favorite part in the book. To qualify real quick, I'm an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. When I take a drink, something happens within me that triggers the phenomenon of craving. Once that develops, the only thing I can guarantee is that I'm going to have another. And I have to be physically stopped most of the time. And what happens when I stop drinking is that I can't keep from starting again. I have an obsession in my mind that supersedes any other thought. I can get away with it this time that no one will know. I can just do it on the weekends. I can do it every other day. The list goes on, fill in the blank for your own story. But that's just what my brain tells me. So I have a brain that tells me that I can, and I have this, a body that ensures that I can't. And so I have an allergy in my body to alcohol, and that's just a vicious cycle that goes over and over and over again. And to, in addition to that, I have a spiritual malady that insists that I'm different from all of you and from life itself. My case is different. You guys don't know. You guys are either drunk right now or you just don't drink the way I did. You know, it's really simple, right? And I brought that into you guys. That's, you know, that's what makes, I'm an alcoholic. So I'm here because my life depends on it. I came in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous for the better part of 8 years. Before that, this is my home group. I'm new in the area. So it's good to be here. I don't know if this is the best home group, but it's pretty good. So keep coming back and maybe you'll find out, maybe you'll see what I see. But I think we're pretty good. I think we're up to par, in my opinion. With that out of the way, in terms of the reading, you know, let me get down to the business here. I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous when I was 24 years old. At that point in my life, I had burned my life down to the ground more times than I'd really like to count. I was left with a trash bag full of clothes that weren't even mine. For the umpteenth time, you know, and this guy came to see me in this treatment center. I was actually at a really nice treatment center too. It was really nice. They had jet skis. They had, you know, I'm just kidding. They didn't have any of that stuff, but they had, you know, a lot of really well-meaning people that said a lot of really good stuff, and I learned a lot, you know, and that's really all I got was a bunch of information, you know. But this guy came to see me, and he asked me 3 questions. He asked me if I was willing to go to any lengths for my sobriety. I lied and I said yes. He asked me if I was willing to take a few simple suggestions. I lied again and I said yes. And then the last question he asked me was, are you done? And see, I thought he meant, are you done with the consequences of your drinking? Are you done with the implications and the, you know, that kind of thing? And of course, at that point, I was, you know, you could have put me up to a lie detector test. Of course I was. I'm tired of no one wanting me around. I'm tired of walking the streets aimlessly. I'm tired of being homeless. I'm tired of walking around with a black trash bag full of clothes. I'm tired of it. I want something different. I really did. I wanted it. Right? And he said, no, Travis, are you done trying to stay sober your way? And I didn't have an answer for it. So I lied again and I said, yes, of course. But that brings me to this is like, step one, we went over it, you know, for the last 2 weeks. And step one is a death sentence. I will drink again. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I will drink. Unless, in my experience at least, followed by the next 11 steps. It's really simple. And you know, it's a conclusion that I have to make, right? Based on my failure to run my life successfully. And drink successfully. And so with that, you know, conclusion, I'm left with another one, you know, life or death. And it had to get down to those two. You know, for me, it was always like die an alcoholic death, live on a spiritual basis, or get the right car, get the right amount of money, get the right job, you know, fill in the blank, right? But I had to get down to just two. This is either life or death. You know, I'm an answer drinker. I drink for an answer. I'm not a problem drinker. I'm not. It gave me power. It gave me everything that we just sort of almost, you know, that we read here, that we talk about. You know, we read the 9-step promises all the time too in meetings, right? That's what it gave me. That's what it did for me. And because it did that for me, I was going to allow it to do what it did to me over the years. But as you know, as it relates to this, I kind of got off on left field there, and I can do that sometimes. But when it comes down to this, it's like, am I willing to consider that there is something better? Because when I came to you guys, I saw that there was something going on. You know, like you clearly are living a better life than I am, and you seem to be a little more comfortable doing it. You know, and you're obviously sober, or at least I think you are. Questionable, I don't know, but. Like you guys were doing something that was different. And I saw something was going on. I just I wasn't ready to buy into it, you know, at the time. But I was left with no choice. I like to think that I love being in control. I love the fact that I think I'm the creator of my own destiny, that, you know, it all starts and ends with me. And, you know, there's no, it talks about just having I have faith that this chair is going to hold me up when I sit in it, you know. I have faith that when I turn that light on, at least I think it's going to turn on, you know. And there's sort of a very similar, I believed in that. I came to believe a lot over the years is what I'm trying to say. You know, I came to believe that a lot of stuff, it was going to fix me or fix my internal condition. When you guys spoke of a God personal to me, you know, this creative intelligence or, you know, creator of the universe, I was, my brain just shut off. But through lack of being able to do anything about it myself and throwing up my hands in the air and saying, okay, I'll try some simple actions, no pun intended, you know, I'll try some of these things that you guys are talking about. And when the moment I did that, the results were evident. Things have not been great ever since. Of course, you know, things happen, it's life, you know. I would like to think that they are, but they're not. You know, it's funny, I was outside after this, I'll shut up and let Grant go, but we were outside and we were talking about my I taught my daughter, my five-year-old daughter, how to ride a bike, and I'll tell you what, there's nothing cooler than that. That was such a cool experience. And and I'm going somewhere with this, but I you could feel it in her that she was so fearful. Like, she didn't want to do it. She didn't trust me. There was this level of you know, she's afraid to let go. She doesn't want to let me go. She doesn't realize that all she has to do is be on the bike and balance and just kind of sit there and ride her pedal. And you could feel it in her, you know? And then I don't know where the words came from, but I was some sort of motivational speaker to her. I was it's like, okay, you know what? Once you learn this, you never have to learn again. And just, you know, and she just you could feel the energy in her. She's started getting confidence and she's going. And I let her go and she just went, right? And, you know, of course she fell a couple of times, but the point that I'm trying to make is I like to think of my recovery sort of in the same fashion. It's you know, I don't have to learn how to ride the bike again, but I'm not in control of the condition of the roads, you know, or where the curbs are or where the turns are or where, you know, I sort of like to think that I have to guide, you know, be guided by this thing. It ebbs and flows a lot over the time. And, but, you know, continue seeking has been the answer and helping others. Go ahead, Grant.
I'm Grant. I'm an alcoholic.
And Grant.
Wow. Let's start with the basic stuff. I am a home group member here, Simple Actions, and been here for a little while because, like Travis, I think we got a pretty good thing going. I've been in home groups with all different formats and styles and attitudes, and I've stuck around this home group because the thing that we do is we follow the traditions and we try to carry the message to the suffering alcoholic. So if you're new, welcome. If you're not new and you're suffering from alcoholism, definitely welcome. We're here to help. And that's how I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. March 19th of 2010. So as of yesterday, I have 13 years. And man, all of it is God. I don't know how to tell a newcomer this. I looking back at where I came from when I came in Alcoholics Anonymous, I would have hated myself for saying that. Absolutely despised. The guy who came in here would have despised the guy that I am, would go out of his way to make his life miserable. Okay. And that it's actually just such a perfect description for how I came in. I came into Alcoholics Anonymous because how I felt inside was alone, lost, uncertain of my future, sad. If you asked me at that time, I would have told you I wanted to die, but really I just didn't want to live the way I was living any longer. And I didn't see any way out. And somebody had told me a period of time, like a month prior to this, that you guys knew something about alcoholism. And I was already pretty certain that I had functional alcoholism, whatever that is. If you're new, I'm not going to explain that to you either because I haven't figured it out. But I did figure out that I had a drinking career, which from all I can tell, nobody but alcoholics have drinking careers. And it was a messy drinking career. A lot of coming to in the backseat of taxi cabs that I didn't know how I got there. A lot of puking in the alley across from the pizza parlor that I don't know how I got there. A lot of fights in bars, a lot of broken relationships, a lot of people that I owed money to, and a lot of reasons that I thought it was their fault. And because of that, I didn't think I had a problem. It was all you guys. Right? And like, I love that this chapter is we agnostics, but I've heard it described we self-reliant. Because that's really what I come, when I get to this point, the question, the jumping off point, which my first sponsor left me with, which was, this is what we do. We develop a relationship with a power greater than ourselves through the oncoming steps as we proceed. And that's how we do this program. If that's not what you want to do, then I'm not sure I can help. And I was left with that hard decision for a week. And I don't know about you, a week's a long time to sit and think about how miserable my life is, how much I want to die, how doomed I am, how lost I am, and how much I don't want to believe in God. I'm very much like, I came in here like, okay, to put it this way, every person I ever met before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous who believed in God, I went out of my way to set up an argument that would become borderline physical altercation to prove that they were wrong about their belief in God. That was the kind of person I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm broken. What point is my argument in that scenario? What does it matter, right? And I was talking to a friend of mine, another AA today. He's like, man, it's just the difference between reliance and defiance. And that's where I was. I was at a jumping off point. I had to decide, was I willing to go with reliance? Was I really willing to do whatever it is you asked me to do? Or was I going to just stick to my plans? I like your bike story. That's a great story. I'm always trying to control my kids. I'm always like, if you just do it this way, you'll get through it. It'll be easier for you. It'll be easier for me. It'll be less stressful. That happened at least 3 times yesterday, right? So I'm still an alcoholic. And I have a solution. I had to tuck my tail between my legs and tell my sponsor and admit that I was relying on self rather than God, right? Because my default mechanism is to look at situations and go, well, if I just get this, if I get these pieces put together, if I just build this little project and get it done, if I make that X number of dollars, if I buy that nice shiny thing, if all these pieces fall into place, then I'll be good. I'll be A-okay. Because I have it. I understand irritableness, restlessness, discontent. And I'm always trying to find ways to fix that are not God reliant. And the crazy thing is I have lots of experience now that says if I just trust God and do the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. I show up to work. I help the people. I do what I'm supposed to do. I answer all the questions. I move forward. No expectation of how it's going to work out. Just do all those things. Show up at home. Help do the dishes. Help with the kids' homework. Help with directions with the wife. And just trust God, right? If I just do those things, everything's fine. But then I start adding. And if they just would behave themselves, then I would be okay. It has nothing to do with God. And I love that this reading is just that. If I'm broken and alone and suffering from a condition that I haven't been able to fix the problem, then why don't I just go ahead and do whatever it is that you people tell me, because you got it figured out. Whether or not I agree with your career choices, whether or not I think you have a nice enough car. Like, I remember this. real clear home group. There was a guy that was over here. He drove a really expensive car. Nothing he ever said made any sense. There was a guy over here that made perfect sense. He looked basically homeless because he just was always working all the time. And he never took the time to clean up before the meeting, but he had the solution, right? And I didn't listen to either one of them, right? Because I started getting ideas again. And that's what this is asking me to do. Consider the fact that if you have no other options, why don't you try R and do it rigorously? Do it like it means your life depends on it. Because at the end of the day, I wasn't looking for God. I was looking for the power to overcome hope. And I didn't even know it. I was 3 years sober before I realized that that's what I was looking for. And when that hit me in a big book study, in the middle of a meeting, we're talking about it. And I was like, I found that a while ago. I'm good now. And I don't mean that like, I'm good. I don't need this. Like, I'm good. I'm on the right path. Just keep doing this. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it over and over again. Everything from then on has been easy because if I'm thinking about my plans and schemes again, I just call my sponsor. I call my AA buddies. I go, here's a crazy one I got for you. And they're like, yep, let's go away from that. Let's just go in a different direction. Right. But I've seen time and time again, guys that I've sponsored, that I've worked with, they get to those little moments and they go, I'm going this way. I go, don't do it. Don't do it. And they go that way and they go out. They're gone. I don't see them again. Or I get to show up at their funeral, which is even worse. So that's really what I hope is if you're new here, just give up. That's the biggest thing, man. Just give up. Because I had lots of fight and I was able to get it.
Thank you both. All right. Section 2, page 46. Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed by a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. Travis?
Travis, still alcoholic. Grant, you were making me think of my initial like childhood idea of God. For some reason, that's what just popped in my head. And I started thinking about, and this sort of ties into this paragraph a little bit. I was, I don't know, maybe my daughter's age, 5 years old. I'm at a church, I'm at a church going Christian family, and I'm, you know, coming out of the hall there, and I'm going to the bathroom, and I walk past the nursery, and it was like some sort of Bible study, I think, or something. That's what my brain tells me anyway. But the pastor was like in the nursery, and he was like yelling at my parents, and I saw his face through the light in the glass, you know, and he's like got his finger in their face, and he's yelling at them. And that's the God that I came here with. Like that is the idea of God. They wouldn't let us be, I don't know, members of the church and whatever, because my parents smoked cigarettes. I don't know, but that's just, I'm just saying this for reference in terms of like, I'm not worthy, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm too broken. I don't know, all those things. And we found that God does not make too hard of terms for those who seek. I love that, you know, because it's not, I don't have to come up with any of this either. It's so great. I don't have any original thoughts or any original things that I say at all, period. I've had a lot of good teachers in my life, and I believe that God speaks through experiences to me, like the thing with my daughter the other day. But in terms of seeking God, there's certain simple actions, again, no pun intended, but to take on a daily basis that allow me to not only be comfortable sober, but allow me to fall asleep at night like that. Do you know what I mean? Where I lay my head on the pillow and all is good. And I love what you were talking about, like, you know, these things were just, this is the right way though, you know, like just do it this way. you know, it'll all be good. What a conundrum. I feel like, you know, so you also said something that made me think of surrender, as cliche as it may sound, you know. But, you know, if you look up the word surrender, you know, what it really means is to give in. I'm not giving up. I'm giving in to this thing. I'm allowing something else to come flow through me or come into my life. And, you know, that's, I think the biggest action word that we do here, at least in terms of this, is letting go. Letting go of my old ideas of what God are, what God is, and letting go of what I think my life should look like, you know, and how I'm going to stay sober, like, and you know, what's going to work, what's not going to work. You know, I don't have to come up with any of that. All I have to do is some certain simple actions that that I may or may not even believe in. And what's cool about AA is that Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't care what I think. Doesn't care what I feel. It only matters what I do. You know, the 12 steps are a set of principles, which, you know, I'm going to kill this, but if followed, you know, in practice as a way of life, can expel the obsession to drink. So if that's true, that they're principles, so is gravity. Gravity is a principle. If I go up on this roof right now and I jump, I will fall no matter what. No matter what I think about it, no matter how I feel about it, I will fall, right? That's a principle. And 12 steps are the same, are designed exactly the same way. In spite of what I think is good or not, or in spite of my better judgment, you know, of what I think is going to work or whatever, it doesn't matter. If I just take the actions to get the result, my brain tells me all sorts of things, crazy things too, really crazy things. Calamity at times, you know, but using a word out of the big book. You know, I gotta keep it in the frame here, work here, right? But if it doesn't matter, because if I take the other day, it's funny, I'm talking about this, but, and it's kind of going off topic, but maybe not. I was just having one of those days, you know, I just kind of was just a little bit irritated, a little bit restless, you know, a little bit of discontented, you know, and, I don't know if I didn't sleep enough or I just was like on edge. I don't know what, or I'm an alcoholic and I have an illness, right? But in any event, you know, I was sitting there rocking the baby, and I'm rocking the baby, and good thing I don't act like how I feel all the time either. You know, I'm just like rocking the baby, I'm doing this thing, I'm just a dad, and I'm just doing this thing, and it's just boring, and I'm doing everything around the house, and I'm doing the dishes, and I'm cleaning up, and I'm doing, you know, all this me. It's just so much of me involved. That's the thing, right? There's so much of me between me and you, and there's so much of me between me and God, that there's not enough room for something new, you know? And so the initial, you know, oriented steps, you know, 4 through 9 have cleared away a lot of that stuff, you know, a lot of me out of the way to make me less important, you know, me, you know, being a little more, you know, outreaching and selfless. But anyway, I was sitting there and I was just kind of going through this thing, and I was just like, made a perfect comparison. So you were like Bill walking across the, you know, the hotel lobby to the telephone. You know, I did one of those things where I'm like hitting up everybody. I'm like, hey, you know, old numbers from gut people that I've, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, hey, you know, like, hey, you still need that? You need that speaker? Hey, you know. And I just kept on doing that, and I picked up a sponsee out of it. That's pretty cool. But you know, it's just, it doesn't matter what I think or feel. It just matters what I do. You know, I'm here. I am thinking about me the whole time. Anyway, that's enough out of it.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I think about me a lot. No, seriously. Before I get to that, it just occurred to me something I've had to, you know, talk with guys in sobriety about is I very much had violent aim towards God when I came, but that doesn't mean that if you have a really useful experience with God or religion, that like you shouldn't capture on that too. That like really all this is asking me is to turn my will and my life over to the care of whatever higher power I'm willing to believe in, and then do the rest of the steps, do the rest of the work to allow that power to flow in again, right? Like I probably had the problem I had with God when I came here, because unlike Travis, my experience with God when I was young was Santa Claus. that's about all I had to work with. So if I wasn't getting what I wanted, it wasn't working out very well for me. Right. And that's not a very good conception to work with. You're going to be disappointed a lot if that's all you got to work with. But I've known plenty of people in AA who have very good experiences with God and religion and faith coming into AA, and they're able to use that to help develop a better relationship with a higher power as they move forward. So I don't want to make anybody who comes in here with something like that level of faith to misunderstand that you can only get this if like you have a broken relationship with God. It's not true. Like I've seen lots of people turn their relationships with their higher power around, because really it's like Travis was just saying, the problem is just me and how much I think about me and how much I think about how important I am and how important everybody should think I am and how serious everybody should take my role in their lives. Because if they understood how important I am in their lives and how important the things I have to offer them are, they would just do so much better. Right? Like that's the problem, right? So it doesn't, like, whatever you believe is what you believe. And what you need, if you come to this with that problem, is a way to go from that problem to a better connection with a power greater than yourself. Like that's what we're talking about. And that's what I needed. And I still need, because like, okay, real time, my wife's starting a business. Awesome. I should be full of gratitude. She's going to make a whole bunch of money for our family. I won't have to work so hard. Great. Right. I have a great career. I make more money a month than I used to make a year before I came in alcoholic. That's insane. Right. And yet I could still complain that I don't make it, because I really don't make enough money for how I have no control over ability to spend money. Right. That's a whole other character that I think I have a lot of the answers to all of the world's problems, because I'm a smart guy. And if people would listen to me, they would have a lot less problems in their life. Right. Again, all of that is me centered. And then I get irritable at other people. I get resentful that they're in my way. I get fearful that there's not enough money or resources because of all of that thinking. Right. And the real truth, the real reality of my life today is all of that is a direct result of a relationship. I'm not responsible for any of that. I mean, yeah, I have to physically get up and do things to be a part of that. But when I came here, I was dying from alcoholism. I wasn't going in that direction without God. None of this that's happened to me today that I'm worried about, that I'm trying to spend all my time to figure out, is because I did something and turned my life around. It's because God gave it to me. They're all gifts from me showing up and answering the phone and giving rides and helping newcomers. Like these are all things that happened because I did Alcoholics Anonymous and I followed these tenets and I started giving it away, right? And it all started from that little mustard seed of there's a God, I'm not it, I'm willing to let him, right? Like, and I, oh, that was so distasteful when I got here, but I did it. I did it most of the time unwillingly. I tell guys I work with all the time, I don't know exactly what the recipe is that got me from being unwilling to willing, but I can tell you that in spite of every complaint, disagreement, argument, protestation that I had for my sponsor for every step of the way in this book, the first time through, I conceded after every conversation that I was willing to do as he was asking me to do. And that's why I'm here today, right? That I was willing to argue about it, but I was also willing to say yes and do it and have an experience and see what comes from it, right? And as a result, like I still have character defects that I still have to take to God, and I still have to talk to my sponsor about, and I have to pray about, and I have to write more inventory on, and then go help more alcoholics with, right? And because that's really what the key is, right? If I'm going to trust God, clean house and help others. The trusting God and cleaning house is putting all that stuff in the right perspective so that I can share it with other people that I might help them see that they have what I have, that I can, I've done what they've done, right? That I've had those experiences. And that's where this has all come together. Like, I love you talking about little baby getting all tense. I remember my first daughter was 4 months old. My wife decided she was going to go to a wedding for her friend out of town, like an 18 hour period. It wasn't even a full 24 hours. She would be gone. She had pumped breast milk. It was all ready to go. I had milk to feed the baby. I had diapers. I had wipes. I understood the concept of rocking the baby, putting the baby down, cleaning up after the baby. I knew everything that needed to be known about doing this. I was like, I'm good. I got this. You go. Right. 8 hours into it, the baby's in the crib crying. I'm on the floor crying. I'm on my knees praying to God, and I'm trying to get God to remove from me the thought that if I throw the baby in the trash can or out the window, I'll solve this problem, right? That's powerless. That's powerlessness. Mm-hmm. And when you face powerlessness like that, then you start to realize, I really am not the one going to solve this problem. Only God's going to solve it. The mistake I made later was after crying, getting centered with God, talking to another alcoholic, settling the baby down. As I told my ex-wife, that those were the thoughts that crossed my mind. That's another good way to get in trouble with alcoholism. So I'm not perfect, but I'm sober and I have a life worth living today. Like, I didn't come in here wanting to live, but I wake up every morning, even with any difficulty or stress that I face today, like with an attitude of like, well, we're going to see how this goes today, and we're going to figure out what to do and try to trust God along the way, right? Like, really just try to give it a space for God to come in and drive this bus, because I know I'm going to try to take the wheel back. I've done it enough times to know that I'm going to try, and I'm going to try to go the other way too. And because of that, like, no matter how difficult life is, I don't have the misery and discontent and loneliness, isolation, fear, and mire of desperation that can turn too. So we'll come back to that when we
section 3, page 47. We need to ask ourselves but one short question: do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built.
I was thinking about the, when you were sharing, Grant, and a little bit of this too, is, you know, we talk about it and how it works. That we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. And this sort of almost reminds me that I have an itch that must be scratched. You know, I have a disease that demands treatment, and I will treat it one way or another. Whether that's with a drink or any number of things, because I'm like a guy, like, you know, what do you got? You know, most of the time. I suffer from that, right? So there's no other option. There's no other third door. There's no third alternative. I have to come to this place. Like, I have no choice, right? And how that looked for me was, I was 2 weeks into this rehab, August 24th of 2020. At that point, I had been in and out for about 8 years, and I would just come in and I'd sit in the chairs. I'd drink the coffee. I didn't put money in the basket. You know, the list goes on. I didn't do any. I'd leave 5 minutes early and came 5 minutes late, and which sometimes I still come a little bit late, sometimes depending on getting out. Sometimes it's hard to leave the house with kids, but it's neither here nor there. But I ended up 2 weeks in this rehab, and I had an experience that was to change my life and change the course of it up until to this very day. And it had nothing to do with how special I am or, being different or any of that stuff. It had nothing to do with geographically, like where I was in the world, although I was a across the United States somewhere else. And but this thing happened, right? And so after, and I'll share with you the you know, the PG version of it, because here's the thing, it's got to be experiential. Like, this thing, it cannot be learned. It's yes, there's a certain amount of like minutia, or there's a certain amount of like stuff you can like learn, and you're like, oh, that's great, you know, yeah, I can stay sober one day at a time if I just do this thing, like, right? But like, I experienced God on a profound level that time. I came to after this, you know, 20-minute meditation deal, and I came to, and I was bawling my eyes out in a room full of men about half the size, and I did not care, because I knew that something had just happened for me and to me, and no one can take that away from me. That's my truth, and it's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Mm-hmm. That's my thing, right? So that's my, like, my basis. It's like, I came up from that, I'm crying, right? And I literally threw my hands up in the air and I said, I'll do anything. There was no other option. There was no other answer. There was nothing in this world that could fix my internal condition, aside from everything that you guys do here and what I had learned in the past, you know, at least coming in and sitting here and listening to you guys and hearing what you guys had, you know, because I wanted what you had. I just didn't know that I had to do it. I just, what I heard was like, you know, if you know what we know, you'll get what we got. And I don't know where I heard that, or at least where I observed or thought I knew what I was hearing. I don't know. I have voices in my, but, you know, that's what happened. Right. And so from there, that was, you know, for me, that was the essence of like steps 1, 2, and 3, but specifically as it relates to step 2, like right here where we are, you know, I was willing to believe that something was going on and that I wasn't it. I was willing to believe that very moment. You know, the rest of that story has to do with the rest of the steps, but I love what Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me. I love what it's about. There was a period where I didn't, you know, I have a life that's worth living today. And it's only as a result of doing these things that I don't believe in. That's it. You know, it's like, there's no special ingredient to it, you know, aside from a sort of mustering up some sort of sense of willingness that I don't even know if that I have half the time, but I do know what it's like to practice trusting God, you know? I don't know if I do all the time, but I know what it's like to practice trust. And I'll end it there.
I was kind of thinking what you're, this just amounts to the, was it the change required, the action required to make a change, you know, have a spiritual experience to completely alter everything. And, I don't know. Like, I love the effect produced by alcohol. I loved taking a drink. I loved it. Like, it was a great experience. I never really knew how it was going to pop off or how it was going to end, but I loved getting started. And when I reached a point where I didn't want to do it anymore, the fact that you guys weren't offering, as I've heard quoted, I'm going to quote David on this one. I'm going to give him credit on this one. A low level of bliss all the time. That's what I was looking for. Like, just like, so you're going to just show me how to like feel great all the time, you know? And that wasn't the option on the table. I was really resentful for a while. I wasn't sure I was going to stick with this program, but I figured that one out. And then sort of left with that place of, well, that's not the option, but the other option is going back to a life way worse than I was already living. And that one was already not worth keeping. I guess I'll just go ahead and do this thing. I just remember early sobriety was like really difficult because it was a lot of just asking other people who had done this, what do you think about this? And they're like, don't do it. And I was like, are you guys always going to tell me it's a bad idea? And they're like, yeah, we're always going to tell you it's a bad idea. I was like, okay, fine. And, you know, it just continues, you know, and I've become more comfortable with it today, that it just like my ideas aren't good ideas and God's idea is the way to go. And you guys are in touch with God at any given time and you can just help me with that. And when I got really okay with asking for that help, just like calling a guy up and just being vulnerable and telling them my crazy ideas, and they're like, yeah, I get those too. Let's go this way. It's okay. Then when I got there, it just got easier. And it's been a lot easier for a long time because of that. Like Travis says, it's just a lot of experiences, like, you know, lying to the wife, getting chewed out, calling an AA, having to make amends for the fight, and then learning the next time around that there's a different way to go. So I don't have to get in the fight, and I don't have to feel about being in the bad about being in a fight, and then having to make amends, or having to yell at my kids and having to make amends to them, like showing up for family members after making amends, right? Like it's not that I don't make amends today. It's just, I make fewer of them because I don't want to put anybody else through that pain and suffering and have to go through that process unless I really have to. I know I'm wrong. I know I can make amends, and that's a beautiful thing, but I can also just start here. Where's God? How do I follow him? Do these things. And then I don't have to do that. And I can even bring some good into the world without it being about me. Right. And that's, man, so freaking awesome. Like I forget sometimes like how lucky I am. I remember being in this meditation meeting and this guy was telling me about the God of AA and how it let him down and he drank again and his life fell apart and he was homeless and coming to the meetings just to stay out of the rain. Oh man, why don't you just find another God of your conception and start again? And he just went on and on and on about how he just, the God of AA failed him. Like, I don't know. Like my higher power isn't the God of AA. My higher power is my higher power. And it's developed over time. And it started with things like good orderly direction and group of drunks and gift of desperation. The meetings and the people here, but over time it's developed into something way bigger. There used to be a guy in this group. I was just thinking about him actually as Travis was sharing, and this might bring some tears to a few people's eyes, but he passed away a few years ago. And we had a really great conversation one time about the amount of time we both wasted in early sobriety trying to find spiritual books and spiritual gurus to figure out the way to God. And the answer was just, stop trying and do the 12 steps and you'll have an experience. And we were just coming back from this long drive to this AA event. And we just had this great experience of, if I can find a way to just turn my will to God's will, I can act my way the way God would have me do all the time. And I've known many a man in AA. I think of that guy often because he reminds me how easy it is to be God-centered in spite of how self-centered I am. And I love AA because of it. I love this place. I love you people because you gave me this life. Like I was broken. I gave up my old life and I got a new one from you people, from God. And I'm eternally grateful for that. Thanks.
Thanks, Grant. Thank you too, Travis. All right, folks, that's the end of the reading and sharing portion of the meeting. At this time, I will pass the basket and observance of the seventh tradition. The seventh tradition states, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, or central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA related announcements?
Hey, Ben. Hey, Ben. Hey, good meeting. You guys want to
sit? All right. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
Any other announcements? All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. And home group members, please raise your hands. Over here on the table by the door, literature is available. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you need literature. Sponsorship questions. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. Or for the extra shy, you can email info@simpleactions.net for more information on sponsorship. Reminder, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside the door to the parking lot and stay well away from the church door. All meeting audio recordings, and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting, all are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting, and that will be held at Stella, right down Colonial. All right. In closing, please thank our panel for sharing, Travis and Grant. Thanks for your sharing this evening. And after the Lord's Prayer, everybody will have a chance to say thank you one-on-one, in person, a couple slaps on the back, what have you. I've asked Ben to read the last two paragraphs from page 164.
Hey, Ben.
All right, thanks, Ben. And we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. It's been on my mind.
Our Father,
Amen.